All right, we'll say let's begin. So we're picking up on Pei Vav Amud Beis, page 11. If you're following in the Aramaic, it's page 11. If you're following in the English, it's page 15. So again, first of all, so just think about this just for a moment. Yesterday at Marasa Machpelah, today at Shiloh. Who knows tomorrow where we're going to be? It's Hashem, but incredible zechus. So it says the Gemara. We're picking up two lines up from the bottom. So remember again, just the recap, as Yanki requested. Just the recap from the Mishnah.
So they didn't have Gemara by the time of the Mishnah.
I'm sorry?
Right? There was no Gemara at the time of the Mishnah. We couldn't be the first people to ever learn Gemara in the Mishnah.
We might be the... Is it possible that this is the first time people ever learned Gemara here?
It would be. Did we do last time? Did we do
No.
We were.
I'm just saying. Ken Zion.
So I think this might even like eclipse the Bris story a little bit.
Right.
I'm sorry.
I don't think we do it.
So this might be the first time that Talmud Babli was ever learned.
Likely. Mishkan.
Wow. Likely.
I mean, we learned
historic moment.
We have the yeshiva over here. There's the yeshiva has there on top, and all different yeshivas here. But Makom Mishkan.
Incredible.
So I did the first bris here in 3,000 years, and you did the first daf here, Rabbi.
Wow, Mamish, in 3,000 years. Actually, the first daf ever, as David Meir accurately pointed out. No one ever learned the Gemara here.
even though there's so much of the Gemara that goes and speaks about this area.
Right,
that's
incredible.
Even more incredible.
Right, so this might be, I mean, it's for sure the first time today that anybody's
learned the Gemara. the Germans were walking around with arts.
All right, so with that, let's begin. There's a chus of learning. Learning Maseches Gittin at the Makom HaMishkan. So we're picking up that Pei Vav Amud Beis, two lines up from the bottom. So the Mishnah said, Chamish Shekasu Klal. So remember again, we had two different cases in the Mishnah. So case number, both of these cases revolved around the central idea that you have a number of people who are divorcing their wives, and they're all seeking to go ahead and accomplish that using one document. So the Mishnah said, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. So in the Mishnah's case, the situation where it worked is what the Mishnah called. I'll just read to you again. He said, "Chamisha shakasu klal besocha get ish ploni megarish ploni suploni plonis va'idim alamato kulan ksherim v'inat lechalachas va'achas hayakosef tofes lechal echad ve'echad va'idim alamato esha idim nikrin imo kosher." So the Mishnah essentially said, if you write all five, what he calls klal. So the Mishnah doesn't define what that means, but they're grouped together. Then, and you have one set of witnesses signing on the bottom. Then the get is kosher. But if you did what's called toface, the chol echad ve'echad, some type of text for each couple, then the get is not kosher. So says the Gemara, hechi dami klal, hechi dami toface. So what's the case of where all the getin are grouped together and the get is kosher? And what's the case of where it's just toface? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, zman echad lekulam. If there was one date, right, one date for all the getin, zeu klal. So we'll say, so if there's one date at the beginning, then that is what we call klal. That means they're all grouped together, and therefore the getin are kosher. Zman lechol echad ve'echad zeu toface. But if there's a different date for each and every get, then that's called the toface. Face. That's Rabbi Yochanan Shita. Reish Lakish, Amish Lakish says, so we now turn to, if you're following in the Hebrew, page 20, or if you're following again in the English, page 22. So however, Reish Lakish says, Afidu Zman Echa Lekulon Nami Habitopis. Reish Lakish says, no, even if there was only one Zman, one date for all of them, that's still called a toface. Ela hechi dami klal. So what is called the klal? Meaning, what's the case according to Reish Lakish, where all the getin are considered to be grouped together and they'll all be kosher with one set of witnesses? So the Gemara says, the kasev anu ploni uploni gerashnu nishosenu plonis uplonis. The case according to Reish Lakish of klal is where literally you write the get that I, Reuben and Shimon, are divorcing our wives, Rachel and Leah. Where you group them together like that, and then there's one set of witnesses on the bottom, that's the case of klal, and the gittin will be kasher. Maski if Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Yochanan, the Amar Zman Echa Lekulan, Zeu Klal, so Rabbi Abba raised the kasher. Contra Rabbi Yochanan who says that if there's one Zman, if there's one date, that's called klal. Lechosh Dilmo ki chasmu sahadi abasrahu dechasimi. Why aren't we concerned that when the witness is signed, that perhaps they're only attesting to the latest get there on the bottom? Milo Tanya, after all, did we not learn? Edim chasumin al she'ela shalom beget pasul, chayshinin shema al she'ela shalom chasmu. So we'll say this is actually a very interesting case. That Halacha Maaseh, the Gemara says, let's say a man writes a get to his wife, and on the bottom of the get, he says, and please send my best to Shimon. And the Edim sign on the bottom of that get. So the Gemara says that gets not kosher. Why? Because we're concerned that perhaps the signatures of the witnesses are not attesting to the validity of the get, but rather are what? Are upholding their obligation to give shalom to Shimon. So the Gemara says over here, why aren't we concerned the same idea? You have all these multiple getting written one on top of the other. And even if the names are combined, and even if there's a text that combines everyone together, Lemaisa, how do you know that the signatures on the bottom are not only attesting to the get that's immediately above it? Lav itmar lo am Rabbi Avo, the didimi farshtim meid Rabbi Yochanan, shalu pasul, vishalu kasher. Abba says, it's an incredible yisod, incredible musr. You know, there's people think that Gemara is just halacha. Gemara is halacha. Everything is in Gemara. That's why there's such an emphasis on learning Gemara, because you can learn everything from here. For example, the little we know of Tanakh comes from Gemara. Right? Hashkafa, musr, halacha, everything comes from Gemara. It's what I'm meaning in just a minute. The Gemara says, well, it depends. If a husband's writing a get to his wife, and he says at the bottom of the get, Sha'alu, and inquire about the welfare of Shimon, and the Aiden sign, the get's not kosher, because we're concerned that the signatures of the witnesses is their commitment to give shalom to Shimon. But if there's what's called a Vav Hamosiv, Vishalu, Shalom Shimon, go see how, so the Vav what? The Vav ultimately adds on, the Vav says, and in addition to what I told you above, also go see how Shimon's doing. So if you have that Vav, is that the Vav Hamosiv or Vav Achibur? It's a Vav Hamosiv, right?
Okay.
Is that true, or is that a Vav Achibur? Right? Vav Hamosiv, Vav Achibur? I never heard that.
I have, but
right.
I'm an Ole Chadash.
Ole Chadash, okay. So the idea is if there's the Vav, then ultimately the Vav connects the She'ela Shalom to the Get. Without the Vav, that's what we're concerned. So to Hachinami, Dechsiv Bei, Ploni Uploni, to which the Gemara says, you're right, same thing over here. If the Get says Ploni Uploni, which indicates to us what? That L'maisa, each Get is connected with the one before it. Then the signatures of the witnesses ultimately go and validate all of the gittin written on this piece of document, a piece of parchment.
And then it's a Vav Achibur?
A Vav Achibur. Right.
If it goes in, it adds all of them together.
Right. Then it's a Vav Achibur. Right. So I will say, so what's amazing about this is you see how a Vav, right, one little Vav, makes such an incredible difference in the mashmos of an entire document. Incredible Musar life about its chachamim hizaru b'divreichem. How careful we have to be not just with every single word, but mamish with every single letter. Every single thing we say, big or small, every single letter we choose to use or not to use, incredible impact. Furthermore, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that if there's a separate date written for each and every get, that's called the toface. And I will say toface, that means that each one is reckoned separately. And therefore, one set of signatures on the bottom of the document does not validate all of the gittin. My iria mishum toface. Why is it just a problem? Because the toface, seifukle, the havale nechtav bayom, the nechtam balayla. Is there not a bigger issue that's what? That if you only have one date, there's an issue, I will say, that's what? The assumption the Gemara is making is that not all of these gittin were written on the same day. So therefore, you have a situation over here where the get is written on one day and signed on a different one. And that's possible. Amalei Mar Kashish, Rei Rav Chisla Ravashi, Hachi Aminim Shein Rav Yochanan, Dechsiv Behu Bechad B'Shaba, Bechad B'Shaba. Because the Bible says, by each of them, you write in there that this was written on Sunday. So even though the Zman itself is only one Zman for all of the Gittin written in the Shtar, but you're indicating that all of them are written on the same day. Amalei Rav Yochanan Ravashi, the Reish Lakish Ramah Zman, Echad L'Kulon, Nami Tofes Havi. So Rav Yochanan Ravashi, Ravashi, Kren Reish Lakish, who says that even if there's one Zman, that's still not called an inclusive series of gin, but rather is reckoned as separate independent gin. Hechi dami klal. So what's the case of klal? What's the case of where multiple people could write multiple gin within one document and it could still be kosher? Dechsiv behachi would have to be phrased like this. Anu ploni uploni girashin neshasenu. So ploni, right, Reuben and Shimon have divorced their wives, Rachel and Leah. Nimtzu, if that's the case, I will say, so the what the Gemara is suggesting is when you write it like that, then what you're doing is you're interweaving the gittin. When you're interweaving the gittin, Reuben and Shimon, have divorced our wives, Rachel and Leah, you're interweaving the gittin. Therefore, understand, let's not lose sight of what we're trying to do. We're trying to figure out how one set of signatures can validate multiple gittin written on one piece of parchment. So the Gemara is suggesting that if you interweave the gittin by saying, Anu, us, me, Reuben and Shimon, have divorced our wives, Rachel and Leah, that should be okay. So the Gemara says, how could that be? Nimtzu, shtei nashim misgarshos beget achod. How could that be? Because effectively then you're divorcing two women with one document. V'atora amra, v'kasav la, v'lo la u'lachavertah. The pasuk says, v'kasav la sefer krisos. You'll write for the wife a sefer krisos, but not for her and to a friend. Meaning one get per woman. To which, we'll say, first wide line, d'hadar kasav, ploni giresh plonis, uploni giresh plonis. Oh. Because even though you began the get by interweaving them and saying Reuven and Shimon were divorcing their wives Rachel and Leah, then you broke out each couple individually. Amrali Rabbi Nila Rav Ashi Umayshnameha. What's the difference in the following? This sanya hakosei kol mechasa l'shnei avadav kano umeshacharin zed zeh. If a person writes all of his property to his two servants, the servants acquire and they are able to emancipate each other. So the Gemara says, "Rabbi said the havamina is that what that's talking about one shtar." The Gemara says, "No. V'alavu kim na b'shtei shtaros. We established that case as talking about two independent shtaros." Tanya Kavasi did Rabbi Yochanan, Tanya Kavasi did Reish Lakish. We have a brisa that supports each of these opinions. Tanya Kavasi did Rabbi Yochanan, Chamisha Shekasu B'socha Get. If you have five couples, five men who are trying to divorce their wife within one document, Ish Ploni Megarish Plonis, Uploni Plonis, Uploni Plonis, Uzman Echol Lekulan. But there's one date. There's only one date at the beginning of the Shtar. Va'idim Milamata, and the Eidim sign on the bottom of the Shtar. Kulam Ksherim. They're all kosher. All the gittin are kosher. V'tinasein l'cho achos v'achos. However, again, remember that one document must be separately given to each woman. Zman l'cho echad v'achad. However, again, if there's a separate zman, there's a separate date for each get. Va'idim ilamat, and the idim sign on the bottom. Esha idim nikrai nimo kosher. So again, if that's the case, suppose that there's a separate date for each and every get, then we only validate the last get. In other words, only the get with which the idim are directly associated with this kosher. Rabbi Yudim and Beseira Omer, imesh revach b'neim pasol. If there's a space between the different texts, then ultimately the getin will be pasul. And I will say, when we say pasul only applies to everything above the last text. Because everyone's pretty much going to agree that the last text is kasher. Why?
It's the one closest to the signatures.
Good, excellent. Because it's the one closest to the signatures. The shayla is only about the ones above it. So here you have Rabbi Yudim and Beseira saying, if there's a space in between the different texts, the upper text will be pasul. Ve'im lav kasher, she'in zman mafsikon. Because ultimately, again, having a separate date does not interrupt between the texts, it's only actual space. Thank about Reish Lakish. We have a rice that supports Reish Lakish. Chamisha Shekasvu Klal Besocha Get. If you have five people that wrote together, interwoven in the get, Anu Ploni Uploni, Gerashni Nishosein Uplonis Uplonis, Ploni Giresh Plonis, Uploni Giresh Plonis, Uzman Echolukulam Ba'idim Ilamata Kulam Kshir. So we'll say, so this price that supports Reish Lakish, and in Reish Lakish's model, what you need is two things. First of all, you need a statement interweaving all of the couples. So Reuven, Shimon, and Levi have divorced their wives, you know, Rachel, Leah, and Bilah, and then you have to break out each of the couples independently. If you do this, says Reish Lakish, then it's kosher. And you have to give the get separately to each woman. So you give the get to each person, you give the get to one woman, take it back, give the get to the next woman, take it back. Zman l'chol echad v'echad. However, again, if there's a zman, if there's a separate date for each and every text, the revach l'chol echad v'echad, if there's a space, ve'idim elamata, and then the idim are on the bottom, esha idim nikra nimo kosher. So then in that case, only the text on the bottom, which the idim are juxtaposed to, is kosher. Ramir says, Afa pi she'in revach b'neim posel. Even though there's not a space in between the gittin, it's still possible. Why? Shazman mafsikon. Because the zman, the date, ultimately interrupts between them. Reish Lakish. Might yiri yizman l'chol echad v'echad. But Reish Lakish, why does he even bring up if there's a date for each and every yet? Ha'amar, zman echad l'kulan nami tofe yisavi. Reish Lakish is one who said that even if it's a zman for each one, it's a separate get. Hani mili hechad ala arvinu meikara. Aval ha'chad arvinu meikara ipalig luhu zman in ilo lo. So we'll say, so therefore, according to Reish Lakish, what the Gemara is suggesting is that, again, there has to be an initial interweaving of the couples, then a subsequent separation of the couples, and if there's even, in that case, even if there's a separate zman for each of them, it is still going to be okay. So the Gemara goes weiter. Mishnah. Shnei Gittin. We'll say, I know that these
would
are
that
not...
Would that apply also if the Eidos is puzzle for one of them?
Oh, let's say one of them is a Karov.
Let's say
first couple. Oh, so very good. So meaning, if one of them is a karov, then it's cleaning. So you're doing good. If one of them is, if let's say you have five gittin written on one piece of parchment, according to, let's say, using Reish Lakish, they're interwoven at the beginning, then broken out subsequently. So the one that is related to the edim, that get will be puzzle, but the other four are still good. Meaning, this is a very important point, which is we wouldn't say that all the gittin are invalid if one of them is valid. I'm sorry?
fact that they separate them makes them...
Correct, correct. The fact that they're separated out makes them independent gin. Correct. Says the Mishnah, Shnei gin shekasin zeh v'tzad zeh. So we'll say, you know, it's interesting, because these cases that now, you know, gin was wonderful because a lot of it was just lemaisa. I mean, lemaisa in terms of how we do gin. A lot of these cases now are not so lemaisa. So the Gemara says the following. The Mishnah says the following. Shnei gin shekasvan zeh v'tzad zeh. It's okay. You know what? We waited 3,000 years. Yes, yeah. They're going to wait a few more minutes. Yeah. Says the Mishnah. Exactly. That's the other piece. We'll talk about that later. This is reparations. Yeah. This is part of reparations.
Seriously. The hill is wearing off.
Yeah, I think he just, what do they call it, Ari? When you lift
brandished.
Up? Brandished. Brandished. Right. Mishnah. Shnei gin shekasan zeh b'tzad zeh. If you have two gin, if you have two, I'm sorry. If you have two gittin written one by the side. Now, also you can actually see Rashi over here has this picture here. Two gittin. I will say, now again, understand what this essentially is doing over here is that this is a cost savings measure. So this is, you have two gittin literally written on the same piece of parchment. So shnei edim ivrin ba'im mitachas lezeh. Shnei edim ivrim, ba'im mitachas zeh letachas zeh, u'shnei edim yevanim, ba'im mitachas zeh letachas zeh. So this is an interesting case. So you have two gittin written side by side, and ultimately, again, you have four witnesses. Two, what he calls two ivri witnesses, and two Greek witnesses. We'll say, what's the chilek?
We're going to move down over there.
Do you have a few more minutes?
We're going to move right there. We'll continue. We'll move there.
They moved this one before.
Mm. Pay the bills.
No, just the rules here that the groups, they have to switch mode.
Even if they're in it.
It's like stations.
Like stations.
So much inside real estate office
joke. All right, so we'll say. So let's go back there. So says the Mishnah. So remember, the case over here is you have two gittin written side by side, and the issue over here is what the Mishnah says. You have two edim yevanim and two edim ivrim. Now, what does that mean? Greek witnesses versus Jewish witnesses. So we'll say it's actually quite interesting. The Mishnah explains that in Hebrew and in Greek, you would sign your names two different ways. So we know, again, so in Hebrew, Sam Shmuel Yosef Zev Ben Yechiel Ben Yamin. In Greek, they would put the father's name first and the son's name afterwards. So you have an interesting case over here, two getting written side by side. Four witnesses signed on the bottom of those two texts. Two of them Edim Ivrim, and one of them, two of them Edim Ivanim. So says the Mishnah, Esh Edim Harishon Nikraim Imo Kosher. So the first get that has the witnesses attached to it is Kosher. So we'll say, so what the Mishnah seems to say, see, I might have thought, or one would have thought, that perhaps, again, you have a total of four witnesses over here. So therefore, two should be for the first get, two should be for the second get, especially, again, since the first two have their first names here, second on their second name here. Kamashvel, and that's not the way it is. Only the first get that has the two witnesses is kosher. Eid echad ivri ve'eid echad yivani. Ve'eid echad ivri ve'eid echad yivani. However, again, boy mitachas zeh, letachas zeh, shneim psulim. If, however, again, we'll say you have Hebrew witness, Greek witness, which means, again, first name, father's name, first name. In that case, says the Mishnah, Shnei Psulim, both Gittin are apostles. So says the Gemara, V'liz Kasher, Hai Beruvein, V'hai Beben Yaakov. So the V'hai Beben Yaakov ate. So the Gemara asks, I don't understand, why is there a problem over here? Both gittin should be kosher. Why are both saying that? Both gittin should actually become kosher just by virtue of the first two signatures, right? Essentially, let the first get become kosher because of Ruvain, and the second get become kosher with Ben Yaakov. What does that mean? The Hotnan Ish Ploni Ben Ish Ploni Eid kosher. So we'll say, interestingly enough, the halacha is if you were to sign a get, not as with your first name, but to sign Ben your father's name, technically such a get would be kosher. So says the Gemara, the first set of witnesses could actually validate both gittin. How so? Because also imagine this following case. You have two gittin written side by side. So the first witness is Reuven Ben Yaakov. The second witness is, we'll call it the Yitzchak Ben Avram. So let the first get be validated by the signatures of Reuven and Yitzchak. And let the second get be validated how? By Ben Yaakov and Ben Avraham. After all, again, Bidi Evet, if you go ahead and you sign a get ben your father, technically the get is good. To which the Gemara says, Dhatanan ben Ishploni eid kosher, to Kasav Ruvain ben Akamo, Viyakov eid Abasra. Chizbo said, that's not how it lines up. Instead, the way it lines up is, and under the first get, it says Ruvain ben, and on the second get, it just says Yaakov eid. In other words, so it doesn't say, had it said ben Yaakov under the second get, then Enoch Inami, that would be good. For this kasher, hi be Ruvain ben, for this kasher, hi be Yaakov eid. So, okay, so let's, why can't the get be kasher like that? The hotnan, ish ploni eid kasher. Because after all, again, the halacha is, that if you sign the get, ish ploni eid, it should be kosher, to which the Gemara says, the low kos of eid. Oh, the case is where he didn't write eid. V'bay same of the olam, the kos of eid. It could be that maybe he did write eid. V'diyadinon b'hai chasima delav Yaakovu. But people know, ultimately, that's what? That the signature is not the signature of Yaakov. We'll say, Amud Beis. If you're following in the Aramaic, it's page 21. And if you're following in the English, 26. Thank you. Top of the daf. V'dilma b'shma d'avu achasim. So maybe, why can't you say that maybe the individual is just signing in his father's name? To which the Gemara says, lo shavik in ishmei b'chasim shmei d'avua. But we know people do not go ahead and literally forsake their own names in order to sign with their father's name. I v'dilma simna shavya. But maybe, again, he's using his father's name, not as his father's name, but maybe as the simon for his signature. Daha Rav Tzayir Kura. After all, Rav used to sign in the shape of a fish. Rabbi Hanina Charusa. Rabbi Hanina used to go ahead and sign with the symbol of a date palm. Rav Chista Samich. Rav Chista used to sign with a Samich. Rav Hoshia Ayin. Avosh used to sign with an ayin. Rabba Baravuna Tsayir Makusa. And Rabba Baravuna used to go ahead and draw a sail. To which the Gemara said, Lo chatzif inish l'shavuyi l'shma da'avu asimna. Because people don't have enough chutzpah to go ahead and what? To use the name of their father as a simon. Meaning, could it be that someone will sign in the name of their father? Absolutely. But someone's not going to turn their father's name into a simon. To which the Gemara says, "V'liskasher hai bishnei edim ivrim, v'liskasher hai bishnei edim yevonim." So again, so why are we getting this? Why are we getting this all complicated? Whatever it is.
You said Yachin Dutten.
So the Gemara says over here, why can't the first get the kasher with the edim ivrim? And the second get, be kasher with the Edim Yevanim, to which the Gemara says, this nan geshe kasu ivris ve'edu yivanis, yivanis ve'edu ivris kasher, because after all, we'll learn about, so it's actually the next Mishnah, that if you go ahead and you write a get, and if you wrote the get in Hebrew, but the witness is signed in Greek, or you wrote the get in get in Greek, and the Edim signed in Hebrew, it's kasher. The chitem akevan the muflog bishnei shnitin lo, but maybe you'll say, since, again, the bottom signatures of the witnesses, meaning the Greek signatures, are two lines removed ultimately from the get itself. But Chizkia said that if you filled in, I'll say this is talking about again by a get makusher, if you filled in all of the folds with krovim, it's kosher. So you see that you don't need the signatures of the edim to be right up against the text. Even if there's a little bit of a space, the get itself is still kosher. Hatani ziiri shnei ksherim v'tani didan duma gundolis chasim v'kulhu echad hu dechasimi. But I take a look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, Dilma Gundalis Chasim. So Rashi says, Bahani Yevanim Chayshina Dilma Gundalis Chasim Chad Minayu Shama Yevani Arishon Chasim Kesedra Ivri Shechasim Lamalahim Enu Shmo. So we'll say, so the issue over here is we're concerned that when you see four signatures like this, even though you know the first two are Ivrim and the second two are Yevanim, are Greek Jews, I'm have to be concerned. So remember, let's just bring this all together. So what the Gemara says is like this: you have two Gittin that are written side by side. Right? And the issue over here is you have four signatures on the bottom. Two of those signatures are Ivrim, which means it's their first name, Ben, their father's name. Two of the witnesses are Yevanim, which means it's their father's name, then their name. So the Gemara says, I have a great idea. Why don't you just say that both Gittin are kosher? How could both Gittin be kosher? The first get will be kosher because of the first two signatures who are Ivrim. The names are right under the get. And let the second get, the left-hand get, we'll call it be kosher. Why? Because of the Edim Yevanim. Because their first names are under the second get. To which the Gemara says that when you have all of these witnesses signing together, the chashash, the concern is that maybe the Edim Yevanim tried to mimic their Edim Ivrim counterparts. And therefore, even though an aid, Yevani, normally signs, his father's name and then his name. Maybe in this case they signed his name and then the father's name. In which case I will say what would happen. You would essentially have four signatures underneath the first get and no signatures underneath the second get. Mm-hmm. And hence the Mishnah rules that only the first get, i.e. the right hand get is kosher, but the left hand get will be possible. Let's begin the Mishnah. Shir makes us a get. Vikasu badaf hashini. If ultimately, again, a person begins a get, this is an interesting case. Person goes ahead and begins a get, but he ends up extending the get onto a second page. Va'idim ilamato, and the idim are on the bottom. Kosher, the get is kosher. We'll define this case. Chosmu idim erosh adaf, minatzad omi acharav, beget pashat pasal. If the idim signed on the top of the page, or on the side of the page, or on the back side of the page of a get, the get is pasal. The get is pasal. Hekif rosh shalzeh bitzad rosh shalzeh. If you put two gittin together, literally you wrote two gittin on one piece of parchment, and you put the top of this get right next to the top of the next get, and the edim are signed in the middle, both are puzzle. So false. And I will say the logic behind it is because, again, remember, so if you can imagine, so if these are the two gittin, right, so you have rosh shel get, can I get rosh shel get, the edim in the middle, so the ma'isa, again, the Mishnah says, such
why
a get,
the top number not be good?
I'm sorry?
Why would the top number?
Because both of them have the edim signed on the top of the get and not the bottom of the get. Remember, it's Rosh Hashanah. I'm lining, correct. I'm lining my top of my get up with the top of the second get, and the edim are in the middle, which means the edim ultimately are signing
on top of,
are signing on top of both getting. So it won't be good. This is the case that you're probably thinking of. If you put the end of one get next to the end of the other get. So in this case over here, remember, I'm taking the bottom of my get and the bottom of another get, putting them together. And in this case over here, what? Va'idim be'emsa, and the edim are in the middle. Esha edim nikrin imo kasher. So in this case, again, the witnesses will read as part of one of the gittin, and therefore will be kasher. Rosh shalzeh b'tzad sofo shalzeh. If you have the top of one get corresponding to the end of another get, so the edim are in the middle. Esha edim nikran imo b'sofo kasher. The one which the edim look like they're a part of ultimately will be kasher. Get shekasvu ivris v'edav yivanis. So I'll say if you have a get that was written in Hebrew and the witness is signed in Greek. When we say signed in Greek, remember, signed kederech hayivanim, meaning father's name and then the son's name, or yivanis v'edav ivrim, or again, the get was written in yivanis, but the edim signed in Hebrew. Edech adivri v'edech adivani, or one witness signed in Hebrew, one witness signed in Yevani, ksav sofer ve'ed, or you have the handwriting of the sofer and an aid, kosher. All of these are kosher. Ish ploni aid, kosher. Ben ish ploni aid, kosher. Similar to both sides, if a person just wrote his name and aid, the get is kosher, meaning he's a kosher aid, even though he didn't write his father's name. Ben ish ploni aid, kosher. Similarly, if a person just identified himself as his father's son, it's also going to be kosher. Ish ploni, ben ish ploni, below kos of aid, kosher. Similarly, if again a person wrote my name, the son of my father, but didn't write the word aid, he's still a kosher aid. Listen to this. This is how the Nikiya Hadas, it's such a beautiful lashon. Look at Rashi. Nikiya Hadas, Noagin, Shalashon and Ktsara. But say Nikiya Hadas literally means those of pure intent. What does it mean, those of pure intent? Those are the individuals, Rashi says, who what? Shalashon and Ktsara. They were very careful with their words. They minimized their words. Lo hayu chosmin aid, ela ploni ben ploni. Suppose you see this? The Nikiya Hadas, Rabbosai, were so careful that they chose not to use any additional words, so that when they signed as Aidin, they didn't even write the word aid. They didn't even put the word aid in it. They just wrote then ben their fathers, and that was it. Kasav chanichasav chanichasav kasher. Similarly, both sides in the get, if a husband, instead of going ahead and using his wife's his name and his wife's name, he used their nicknames. He used names that they're known by, but not their primary names. Rashi says, Shem Levi Shal Mishpacha Kula. So we'll see exactly what this means. A nickname or a last name. So the Mishnah paskins ultimately, again, that such a get is indeed kosher. We'll stop over here. Maybe let's just spend a moment just, you know, to learn just a little bit more. Hello, 2 minutes? Good. Literally 2 minutes. 2 minutes. So let's actually turn to page 112, just a little bit, because we're working on our emunah in this trip also. So from the Be'er HaChayim, we'll just do one paragraph. He says, Haman bin Ba'ashem schara harbi ma'od. Schar gadol. They both say somebody has emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says an incredible amount of schar. Umafurash b'Rabbeinu B'Chayi Parshas V'Aschanon.
Dine be parshas breishis ne'emar yud gimel pamim gan. It says in parshas breishis 13 times the word gan. I apologize for the print here. Ukenegdam ksiv yud gimel pamim eish, and it also says 13 times eish be parshas veschanan kilo nivra gan eden v'chom ma'alosav. Because the Gan Eden was only created, right? And all of the beauty of Gan Eden was only created only for those hamiyachadim bekavana. What does it mean, miyachadim bekavana? Look at the brackets. Ki echad ola bigimatria yud gimel. Bosa, the gimatria, the numerical value of echad is 13. So again, it says 13 times the word gan, like Gan Eden, 13 times the word esh. So Rabbi say, who are the ones who get Gan Eden? Who are the ones who acquire Gan Eden? Only those who are miyachadim bekavanasam. Only those who believe in echad. We'll say, you don't understand, the tension in this, by the way, is not just about Gan Eden in the afterlife. It's if you want a beautiful Olam Hazeh, if you want a beautiful life, so that if you want Gan Eden in Olam Hazeh, the only way to have the Gan, which is mentioned 13 times, is to live a life of the word that has the numerical value of 13 echad. He says, V'ayidezeh, nitzol me'esh tegehenam. And furthermore, again, if you have echad in Olam Hazeh, if I have kavana, I have belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Olam Hazeh, a person is safe from the fires of Gehenna. Leman ha'udiacha, right? Gehinom, like we learned yesterday, right? You're saved ultimately again from the fires of Gehenna. Va'ayidezen, it's the man ha'udiacha, ki kol mechavim be'echad, shecheshbono shloshesre, ki mispar shloshesre midos, nitzol me'ish shel Gehenna, v'zocha legan eden, ulechol ma'alosav shehem shloshesre. So about say, a person ultimately who lives a life of echad, a life of where, what does it mean to live a life of echad? A life of echad is a life of where the Ribono Shel Olam is the central figure of my existence, where everything is about the Ribono Shel Olam, everything is about Mikali Shem Shema, everything I do, Ribono Shel Olam, is for you. So a person who lives a life of echad is zochet to the gan, right, echad which is 13, is zochet to the gan which is mentioned 13 times, and is zochet to be saved from the Esh of Gehenom, which is mentioned 13 times. K'mo Sh'amru Chazal, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi Ashkechei, Rabbi Shimon Dahavi Yosef, Atleisar Tachtaki Pizo, V'akavano, so listen to this. Get ready. It's through emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we start talking about emuna. What does emuna mean? And on its most basic level, emuna means that I believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of me. And it's easy to have emuna when everything goes your way in life, but real emuna comes when things don't go my way in life. But I still believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of me in some way. Sha'edei ha'emuna zocha basar v'tan l'madregas Moshe Rabbeinu. Sha'et l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiviyachol b'chvodo v'atzva. Bosa, you hear what he's saying? It's Be'er HaChaim. If Shmuel Silver told you this, you could say I'm making it up. But the Rabbeinu Bechai says, and even again, the Be'er HaChaim says words that you can't even say. That if a person zocha, if a person has emuna, a person is able to reach the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. Kiviyachol itzak kodesh baruch hu, kiviyachol bichvodo ba'atzmo. Kimo shakasa b'lashon kodesho, vayichlo od tamim tiyam Hashem elokecha, imato tamim. If a person is, what does tamim mean, Rabbi Osai? Tamim doesn't mean perfect. Tamim means complete. Complete whole. If a person becomes whole with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whole, what does it mean? That I have emunah. I believe Ribbono Shel Olam is going to take care of me in life no matter what. If a person is tamim, then tiyem Hashem Elokecha. Ki inyon b'moshe v'ahi sham im Hashem. We'll say, you hear this idea? This is mind-blowing. And we're learning this in the Makom HaMishkan, in Shiloh. Mind-blowing Torah in a mind-blowing place. It's like almost like we have to stop. It's too much. All right, I'll go on. Right, so again, we'll say, so understand what he's saying over here? That the pasuk says, tamim tihiyah im Hashem Elokecha. I have to be, so when am I tamim? When am I whole? Only when I'm with Hashem. And what does it say by Moshe Rabbeinu? Vayhi sham im Hashem. How does it describe Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu's life is im Hashem. So I could be im Hashem also when? When I'm tamim, when I'm complete in my emuna, unahora v'chein ba'ar elyon, v'nahora ameishara, v'limdach hakosef hazeh amalas midas hatimimos va'agodas chara, v'chein amar davrash alav shalom, v'ani b'tumi tamach tabi, v'atatziveni le'olim l'fanach. It was an incredible, incredible yisod. That what the most important, see, this is, it's sometimes, you know, I think what's amazing about this spot, if you look around, what's the most amazing thing about this spot? The beauty. But it's an interesting thing. that it's not an architectural beauty, right? You know, sometimes you go to places and what's overwhelming about it, like you go to Maaseh Machpelah, so you look at the structure that Herod built, amazing. You go to the Kotel, amazing. What's amazing about this place, really? What's amazing about it is it's pashtos. It's simple. It's simple. There's nothing here but ruins. But yet, the ruins are inspirational. So there's nothing. So if you look at the landscape is barren. Somebody arranged this in a rectangle. I don't know how long ago.
Last week.
Right? You know, whatever. You know, so again, but it's the pashtos that's so overwhelming. It's the same thing in our Yiddishkeit. You know, sometimes we get so, we think that the road to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like paved with hours of Talmud Torah and voluminous amounts of money at tzedakah and chesed, and those are all important. We have to learn a lot of Torah, we have to give a lot of tzedakah, and we have to do a lot of chesed. But do you know at the end of the day that what creates the passion for relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What creates is an emunah. I believe that, you know, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh said, he said the Vart in the Pasuk of Hashem Tzilcha. So we say, the way we often translate it is Hashem Tzilcha is Hashem is my shade. And so there's a lashon like an idea of protection. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh said that Hashem Tzilcha means what? The Baal Shem is my shadow. You know, your shadow goes with you everywhere. So the Baal Shem Tov says if a person could only believe that Hashem is with me everywhere, that's godless and emunah. Then to feel like we open up the Shulchan Aruch, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid. Ribbono Shel Olam, you're always in the Baal HaTanya says, the ikar of Yiddishkeit is always to feel Lifnei Hashem. That says the Be'er HaChaim, that says the Rebbe of Lulav, that says Rabbeinu Bechaye. Each of us could be like a Moshe Rabbeinu. There's a famous Maisa. They say that Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, the Rav of Yushalayim, that whenever somebody wanted to open up a yeshiva, Parrot, you're going to appreciate this one. Whenever someone opened up the yeshiva, so Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld asked them one question. He says, actually two versions of the story. One version of the story was he asked them, do you teach the boys, this is the boys' yeshiva, do you teach the boys that they can be Moshe Rabbeinu? Right? The other version of the story was he said, do you teach them that they could be Mashiach? So it's interesting that Lemaisa, again, so people used to look at Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld like he was crazy. No, we don't teach the boys they could be. Did you see these kids? Right? They're not going to be the Mashiach. They're not going to be. So Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, he said, you know, that the Shulchan Aruch paskins that if a mother can't nurse her child, it's preferable for to not have a Jewish wet nurse, to not have a non-Jewish woman nurse the baby. So why not? The Shulchan Aruch says, because Moshe Rabbeinu, when he wasn't nursed by his mother, so Miriam says to Bas Paro, I'm going to go and I'm going to call him an Isha Meinekis. I'm going to go call him a Jewish wet nurse. So from here you see that what? From here you see that if a mother can't nurse her child, you shouldn't have a child nursed by a non-Jewish wet nurse. So everybody asks, Jewish? I'm sorry?
Did she say Jewish?
Yeah, Ivrim. So Miriam said, I'll go call him a Hebrew wet nurse. So the Shulchan Aruch says this. No, I appreciate it. Thank God, keep me on my toes. So what's it? The Mefarshim on Shulchan Aruch, I don't understand. That's from Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's the peh. She also the Darim Shechina. The Gemara says that the mouth that was going to speak from the Shechina shouldn't nurse from a non-Jewish woman. So Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld says, you see from here what? You see from here that you have to treat every single child like they're a peh she'asid ledaber im hashchina. That you have to treat every single child like a future Moshe. I mean, every single child like a future Moshe. So why am I saying this? Because Rabbeinu Bechai says, I see sometimes, let's be honest, we're amongst friends, and I don't know where we're getting streamed to over here, but hopefully it's not going online. Right? So we're amongst friends. So we're amongst friends. So we'll say, listen to this. This is very important because sometimes we give up on ourselves a little bit. Right? And what we do is say to ourselves, okay, you know what? I'm going to come to Eretz, I'm going to recharge a little bit. But even my recharging ability is like up to here. You know, like it's Lahavda Aleph Alfe Rive Avdalis. You know, when you have an older cell phone, so the battery could only hold the charge for so long. Right? Like, look at Uncle Mike's cell phone, you'll see it. Right? The battery can only hold the charge. Like, I could juice it up for 5 hours, but after an hour. So sometimes we look at it like, I'm like an old cell phone, so I could recharge, but I'm only going to hold the charge for so long, and the charge is only going to be so powerful. What Rabbeinu Bechai says is we have to realize each of us has the ability to be Moshe Rabbeinu. It's right, Moshe Rabbeinu, what defines Moshe Rabbeinu? By Hisham Im Hashem. The godless of Moshe Rabbeinu was that he was Im Hashem. He was with the Ribono Shel Olam. So you'll say, how is that shayach to me? Tamim Tiyah Im Hashem Elokecha. I could also be Im Hashem. How do I become Im Hashem Tamim? What's Tamimus? How do I become complete? How do I become whole? The simple answer is what? Emunah. We'll say, what we're here today, what we're here to learn, what we're here to acquire over this trip, the truth is not the daf, it's not the berachaim. The truth is, what we're really here for is because often we need a little pick-me-up to remind us that the Ribono Shel Olam is with us every single step. Every single thing we do in life is just to remind us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by our side. And when things don't go our way, that's just an opportunity to work on Emunah. But that's what we're here to accomplish. And hopefully over the last day and a half, hopefully what we've already started to accomplish, come to a place like this, like Hillel was saying, that was without Jews for so many years. And now it's ringed. It's ringed by Jewish communities, by beautiful, vibrant Jewish communities. And that we could come here, that we could be here. Say, that's what it means. That's sometimes Ribono Shel Olam is with us. He's with us as individuals. He's with us as a people. So we should be Zoche Meretz Hashem as we now conclude our learning to go daven Mincha by the Makom of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that we should be Zoche that over the course of this trip, we should Meretz Hashem find our Vayhi Shamim Hashem. We should find our place. We should find that feeling of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by us. We should find our Tamim Tiyam Hashem Elokecha. We should remember that each of us has the ability to be a Moshe Rabbeinu in our own right. And we should be Zoche that Meretz Hashem, we should be recharged. We should be Zoche Meretz Hashem to hold the charge for many years to come.
Hashem goes and says through Yirmiyahu, right about this site, Yirmiyahu Perek Zayin. He goes and he says something that you guys are accomplishing today. You're doing mamish.